empathy comes from experience. And if you've had the storybook smooth ride, it's really hard to develop that empathy, right? So if you've experienced bumps, you have a lot more to share with someone than someone else who hasn't.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I.
If you too want to connect and collaborate with more incredible women in tech, remember you can go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com.
We would not be able to support and celebrate women in tech around the world if it weren't for you. Thank you so much for being a listener and a fan of the show. To contribute and donate, simply go to womenintech.fm on the upper right-hand side and click donate, which empowers us to continue celebrating women in tech around the world. Thank you for being a part of our journey.
Command Line Heroes is an original, highly produced, award-winning podcast about the people who transform technology from the command line up, presented by Red Hat. And this is not a technical show. This is a show anyone can enjoy, featuring experts from across the industry. Season 4 is airing now, so subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and stick around to the end of the show to hear a sneak preview of the brand new season.
So I think you guys have heard me talk about a site that I recently discovered called FocusMate. It's kind of like jumping on Skype with a stranger, and really the whole point is to set your intention of the task you want to accomplish, and the other person is on the other line and they share the task they want to accomplish, and then you work together for a 50-minute co-working session. You could go on mute, play your music, or listen to that ambient sound and get your task done. And then at the end of the 50 minutes, you report to one another what you got done. It's really, really cool. It definitely helps me work when I don't feel like working. And it's especially good for those tasks that I just procrastinate on like crazy. I'm not even sure why, or maybe I have some ideas why, but you know, using FocusMate to tackle that. But the reason why I'm talking about it is because today I bought the pro level. Now I don't need the pro level. The free level is you get 3 sessions a week for free. The pro level is ridiculously low. It's only $5 a month, not a big deal. And you get unlimited sessions. But the reason I got the pro level, even though I haven't been using it more than 3 times a week, is because I think it's cool and I want this company to exist. And if no one's paying them, then how are they going to exist? And $5 is nothing. And I was thinking about how in our culture of startups, we act like things don't cost anything because we're so all about VC this and that and raising money as though raising money is the success, when really you haven't even started yet. It's you have to make revenue to see if people are willing to pay for your product. So I got the $5. It's so low. It was like the easiest decision to make ever. But my why in making the decision, I thought it was a really cool moment for us all to think about, like, what companies do we really want to exist, and are we paying for those things to exist? I mean, you guys, this week, Yahoo, we all had Yahoo at one point. And I have like an old Yahoo account, and it had emails in it that were really important to me. Yahoo randomly, no joke, deleted my entire inbox with no notification whatsoever. And I think it's because they were just acquired or something, and they did a whole site redo. I don't know, but it's insane, and they won't like restore my emails. And I even paid for their customer support. They have this customer support thing, and they have all these fancy words on their homepage that say how much they care. Let me tell you how much they did not care. I don't want to get into it too much, but the point is, Yahoo's free, right? Like, I had it, and all of a sudden, they just decided to delete it because that's what was best. And that's the beauty of when you pay. Like, now the company is responsible to you, or at least they should be, right? But if something's free, nothing's truly free. Everything comes at a cost. And anyway, I really dig this company, FocusMate. I want them to exist. I'm happy to pay the $5 a month. I think it's a ridiculously amazing deal. And I think we should all think about how we support the startups that we want to see existing, you know, 5, 10, 20 years from now. All right. Well, I will talk to you guys later. Bye. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast, celebrating women in tech around the world. So excited to have been across 80 countries, over 500 women, and now we are in Lithuania. Yes, so excited for our next guest, Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course, so you are a New Yorker living in London in Lithuania right now.
Yes, and somehow it all makes sense.
Yeah, it does all make sense. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay, so I am the director of strategy and co-founder at a startup called VC Innovations, where we like to pitch ourselves as a disruptive media startup. We work primarily across the innovation industries with a major focus in the fintech and financial services space.
And what made you passionate about fintech in the first place, or at least sparked that interest?
I mean, my background is in economics, but I worked for many years in financial services, took a break to have four children. And then when I came back to work, I worked for a financial services think tank that actually focused on innovation. Before it was called fintech, it was just called financial services innovation. And that's where I kind of started my fintech journey.
And okay, New York, London, why?
I was working at Standard & Poor's in New York doing sovereign risk analysis, decided to take 12 months out to do a master's in economics. So came to the LSE because it was a 12-month program to do a master's, and that was 23 years ago.
So that was it. You never left.
I never left.
And London is such an interesting city, as you guys know. I was just there a few months ago. And London's always trying to be the top of innovation and technology and really trying to compete with Tel Aviv and Los Angeles and New York and San Francisco. It's interesting. How do you find the tech community in London?
So speaking specifically from a fintech perspective,
yeah,
it is the world's leading hub for fintech. And there's a number of reasons for that. London, unlike New York or San Francisco and a number of other cities, everything's in London. The financial services industry is there. A big chunk of the tech industry is there. Government and regulators are there. So it's created this unique ecosystem. Like if you want to speak to the regulator, you can just, you know, take a tube and have a conversation with them. It's not the same divide that you would have in the US between kind of financial services in New York, government in DC, mm-hmm, and then 50 state regulators to contend with.
Interesting. So,
and they also straddle, you know, a number of kind of geographical zones in terms of being financial services hub serving Asia, serving the rest of Europe, you know, and doing business in North America.
And I was surprised. My first time in Vilnius was at the beginning of the year. And I was surprised that Vilnius, Lithuania has such a fintech hub. I wouldn't have thunk it. Were you always aware that there was a lot of fintech activity here? Did that catch you by surprise as well?
Being in, you know, in a fintech hub like London, or, you know, even more broadly across the UK, you are aware of the other hubs that are developing across Europe. And in the Baltics generally, I mean, there's lots of startups, for example, that have, yeah, come out of Estonia. I knew less about the Lithuanian scene, although I've learned quite a lot in the last few days. So I've been here to speak at a conference.
The FinTech Inn, yeah.
At FinTech Inn, that's right. And I mean, it's a really vibrant scene. And I think, you know, it's a relatively small economy, but there's a highly skilled labor force and certainly a desire on the part of the government, including the regulators, to really create, mm-hmm, the conditions for fintechs to start, you know, survive and thrive.
It's really interesting, especially having a large conference like FinTech Inn right here in Vilnius. So in your career, what's a huge obstacle that you've successfully overcome in your work, and how did you overcome it?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I mentioned I took some time out to have four kids. And I think, you know, my biggest obstacle in going back to work full time was mental, you know, thinking, oh, God, I've been out of it for a few years, you know, everything's going to be so different, you know, da, 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 da. And actually, that was more of a mental obstacle. I mean, obviously, women face lots of different obstacles, right? You know, if you have a family, there's issues around childcare and all that other stuff. But I think a lot of it is, you know, internal. So yeah, for me, you know, just kind of having that almost crisis of confidence after having been out of work for a while. But actually, you know, after week one, you know, you're just back in it.
Right. What would you say is the best advice that you've gotten?
The best advice I have received as a woman in tech, or just...
Just in business. Yeah.
In general, is to just kind of be resilient, actually, you know, to have a picture in your head, think about where you're going, and that it's not always going to be straightforward. I think resilience is key.
How would you guide someone to develop resiliency?
It's a good question, because this is something I think, because I'm so focused on it, right, that I speak to my kids about. And resilience is that, you know, if you get knocked back, you know, you have to find another way. Yes, you can have some time out to go, oh, you know, you can't curse on this, can you?
No, you can. Oh, you it's can, a podcast.
You can go like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But then you've just got to kind of just gather and keep going. And I think resilience is not having ludicrous expectations that everything's going to be perfect. Right.
I learned this word from a woman I interviewed last week in Kazakhstan, Laura. She's amazing. And she taught me this word, pronoia. So pronoia is the opposite of paranoia. Pronoia, have you heard this word?
No, never, but I like the sounds of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I posted it on Twitter and Facebook. It seems like it's a secret word that most people haven't heard of, including myself, and it means that everything that is happening to benefit you. It's happening in your favor.
So it's kind of like a what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, because like even if you're having a really bad day or something that seems to be super negative is taking place, in the big scheme of things, it's playing a role for a larger purpose that is a positive. And so I think related to resiliency is sometimes we feel, I know I've felt this many times, is knocked down or how can I make it through this blah that's going on. Yeah. But like I built the first action sports social network and it didn't realize the vision that I had for it. And for a long time, I was really depressed. I was like, oh, I just felt like such a loser, like a failure that I believed in it 100,000% that it would get to where it's going with just absolute confidence and it didn't get there. But now my company today serves people who are essentially me, like me before, so we don't have to go through their journey alone. And if I didn't have that experience and all the pain points of that experience, I wouldn't have the empathy I have today to understand truly what all the ebbs and flows are of being an entrepreneur. And so now I understand, you know, to an extent of like why in my perception it didn't make it. Other people are like, it did make it. You know, it's like saying Kodak.
Maybe
it
didn't make it in the way that
I wanted it to make it. Yeah. And so it's just this interesting. I love that you say resiliency. And I think that there's something to this word pronoia of, you know, my mom always says, you just need more patience. She's always telling me that. You just need more patience. So I think maybe we all just need more patience to find out why whatever XYZ is happening.
But, you know, it's interesting what you say about empathy. Empathy comes some experience. And if you've had like the, you know, storybook smooth ride, it's really hard to develop that empathy, right? So if you've experienced bumps, you have a lot more to share with someone than someone else who hasn't, right?
Yeah.
Because one thing I've learned is like, so, you know, I'm a little bit older now, you know, and my kids are a little bit older. And often younger women will approach me and say, you know, how do you like mix kids and a career and all the rest of it? And I would never give someone a recipe. I would never say, well, what you should do is this, because everyone's experience is so contextual. Some stuff is beyond your control, right? Like if you end up, you know, I'm a single mom now. It's not something you set out to do. So, you know, what kind of advice can you give someone? You know, I just say you have to go with what works for you, that you have to trust yourself, and that if things get difficult, just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Totally.
And usually things will get better.
Totally. Do you have a favorite tech tool or mobile app or website?
So for me, like the things that I go to all the time, Uber.
Nobody's ever said Uber. I'm surprised, actually.
I don't have a car.
It's so true. That's a good one.
I think if you don't have a car, Uber is super central to you, and City Mapper. Like those are the two things.
Londoners and City Mapper. Okay, yeah. City Mapper, describe City Mapper.
So City Mapper tells you where you need to go, either on foot, and I love the fact that it'll give you like, you know, 20 different versions of how to get somewhere by public transport. And if you do have a car, it will give you like a car version. I've never looked
this
at
this is
that.
In London. It tells
this
you how to get around London. Yeah.
And you could go on, like if you're going with a pushchair, you can choose a route, you know, you can request step-free access. So, you know, it's so much better than Google Maps in
many,
wait,
you're
many
missing
ways.
One core. Do you know what I'm going to say? You're missing one core feature of City Mapper.
It
tells
price?
You the, it, no, it tells you the calories you burn depending
oh,
on.
Oh, see, I never look at that. I think I don't have a car, so I never think about like am I doing this to burn calories? I'm just doing this to get from A to Z. Like it tells you it'll take 20 minutes to walk, 22 minutes by public transportation, you're like, okay, well, I'll walk.
Yeah, you know.
So for me, it's not so much a calorie thing. It's just to get from A to B.
It's so funny. My phone, for whatever reason, so I have an American phone and I have American phone plan. And so my data is sometimes slow. And CityMapper wasn't working great for me. Google Maps was working a lot better. And all my London friends are all like, no, you have to install CityMapper. I'm like, it's installed. I just don't use it. What do you mean you don't use it? It was so like better. I was committing a crime that I was still using Google Maps in London. It was so funny.
You still need Google Maps because CityMapper doesn't, like, for example, it doesn't work in Vilnius. It only works in cities that are included. So you always have to have your Google Maps. And if you're in like the middle of nowhere, you need to use Google Maps because CityMapper just won't get you out.
No, listen, in the middle of nowhere, even Google Maps, when I was in Indonesia, I'd Google Map something and it would take me or attempt to take me through like a remote field where I just simply could not get to the other side. And I'm like, Esprit, you have to like be human in this experience and use your own like mental judgment and not rely on your
phone. South, east, west.
So funny. What guidance or advice would you give someone who's just starting out in the fintech world that maybe wants to follow in your footsteps?
In the world of modern technology, we open our laptops, scroll endlessly on our smartphones, send tons of data to the cloud, and we don't think twice about it. But have you ever wondered how we got to now with our personal devices? What it took were teams of engineers and programmers who had the vision and audacity to build new machines. I'm Saranya Barak. Join me for an incredible new season of the podcast. And keep on coding.
Season 4 is airing now. Subscribe to Command Line Heroes today, wherever you get your podcasts.
What guidance or advice would you give someone who's just starting out in the fintech world that maybe wants to follow in your footsteps?
Yeah, I think just talk to people and learn and listen. And for me, because I come from a financial services background, some people come into it from, you know, a purely tech side and they're like, yeah, I can do this. I'll use tech. It'll do it so much better. But I think you have to understand your industry, right? Whether that's financial services or, you know, the same would be true if you were going into retail or health. And I think, you know, there can be an arrogance to tech, like I can just solve this problem. But I think domain expertise, domain knowledge is crucial. Learn the regulation because eventually it will come and hit you in the ass if you don't. And just listen to people who have been in the industry for a long time. You may want to do things differently, which is the whole point. But, you know, take some time to learn from people who have been in the industry for a long time, you know, kind of learn who the key stakeholders are, learn how the industry works, and then you can come in and probably solve problems much better.
And what insights would you give someone, an American specifically, looking to move from America and let's just say to London? What's a couple things you wish you knew that you know now?
Gosh, that's such a, I was just telling someone yesterday at FinTech Inn that when you first get to London, you're like, okay, well, you know, things look a little bit different, but, you know, we all speak English. It's not that much of a difference. And someone told me years ago, you'll think that in the first year, and then you'll be here for a few years, and you'll think, actually, this place doesn't make any sense. So, you know, like anywhere, you kind of have to take the time to figure out how things work, mm-hmm. right? Like what the drivers are, you know, what the kind of key people that you need to know are. So sometimes, you know, if you come as an English speaker, you'd think, yeah, no, it's all the same. I got it sorted. It's not the same. It's like if you go to any other country, you know, you mentioned Indonesia. If you go to Indonesia, you need to learn the lay of the land.
Yeah.
And I think the same is true if you're coming to set up in London or if you're coming to set up in Vilnius, wherever you go. And take some time and, like, you know, do your research.
And it's also the culture of communication.
Yeah.
For instance, even tonight, I was calling a person by a nickname and I meant like no harm in it. And I was calling another American by a nickname. And one of my friends didn't know if I was being insulting. And I wasn't, but I stopped with the nickname because I understood that they were just being respectful to their friend, you know, and it was interesting. I was like, oh, wow, like in another culture, you don't even know when you're joking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about, you know, some things just don't translate from one to the other.
Yeah.
It's like you said, sometimes you just have to take the time, listen, and learn. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. Just like if you encounter someone who's from somewhere else in London or wherever, you know, in the US, you know, some of the things they say might be clunky or just seem a bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, you probably have a certain sympathy with them, right?
Cause we've
been there. So it's just take the time, listen, learn. Don't just go in like, I know how to do everything better because where I come from, we do it like this.
Yeah.
And I think that's true, you know, if you're going to London or wherever you're going, take some time, listen, and learn.
It's funny, tonight one of the Lithuanians was saying he lived in San Francisco for 3 years, and he said the first advice he got from a venture capitalist when he got to San Francisco, he said, don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Like, that's such an American way of doing that, you know? And so, like, when I was in England a few months ago, I had to learn the dynamics of, it was hard.
Yeah, because it was really like hard. It should be easy, but then after a while you realize, okay, well, it's just a little bit different, like the way they communicate, the way you ask questions, you know, it's just a little bit different, and you still have to be like your authentic self, and most people will be fine with that, but, you know, my thing is always just take a little time to like stand back, listen, and learn.
Yeah.
And that serves you well in the long run.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. Is there anything you wanted to share that we haven't come across?
No, just that, you know, it's been fantastic to, you know, one thing I actually, because I was doing a speech at the conference yesterday, and I think, you know, this is a lesson for most women, and, you know, just put yourself out there. I hate public speaking, but you just like put yourself out there, and I think the rewards come, and I think that's one thing that, you know, not all women, obviously, some are like, bam, they're out there, but a lot of women I encounter just unwilling to do that or afraid to do that, so I just say put yourself out there.
And what was the topic of your speech?
Fintech and aging.
Nice. Where can people connect with you online?
They can find me at VC Innovations. They can find me on LinkedIn. They can find me on Twitter.
And can you spell your name for everybody, like your handle or your LinkedIn?
Yep. So my LinkedIn is just Lisa Moyle at VC Innovations. I think my Twitter, because I haven't.
And it's M-O-Y-L-E?
It's M-O-Y-L-E. First name Lisa, L-I-S-A. You'll find me.
Perfect. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. If you want to connect and collaborate with more incredible women in tech around the world, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. We'll take you straight there. Say hello on social at Women in Tech Show on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye. Hi, this is Lisa Moyle. I'm co-founder and director of strategy at VC Innovations, based out of London, England. We are a disruptive media startup working across the innovation industries, primarily in financial services and fintech. And you're listening to Women in Tech.
I'd like to tell you about an all-new season of Command Line Heroes, a podcast presented by Red Hat. No one ever said hardware was easy. In season 4, Command Line Heroes is telling 7 special stories about people and teams who dared to change the rules of hardware and in the process changed how we all interact with technology.
In the world of modern technology, we open our laptops, scroll endlessly on our smartphones, send tons of data to the cloud, and we don't think twice about it. But have you ever wondered how we got to now with our personal devices and what it took to get here?
There was this blue box on a table, and he said, well, here it is. I said, well, what is it? He said, it's a microcomputer.
What it took were teams of engineers and programmers who had the vision and audacity to build new machines. These machines, they revolutionized our lives and blew the doors open to what was possible.
How many people here had a computer versus how many people intended to get one? Only one or two people actually had them, and they would bring them to the club meeting. What are you going to do with it? And nobody had an answer.
The key thing about timesharing was that the computer needed some way of being able to sort of stop its own clock.
The creators of the floppy drives are not household names by any means. If it wasn't for that, PCs would have been adopted much more slowly.
This January 28th, we launch season 4 of Command Line Heroes, an original podcast from Red Hat. And this season, it's all about the hardware. We'll hear the stories behind some iconic machines and the people who dared to create them.
I was the kid that always took things apart, took my older sister's toys apart.
This is just another bag on the side of the Eclipse, a skin job. Nope, this is a whole new machine.
The process of passing the tapes around and encouraging and building upon each other's results is really what made the personal computer industry.
We're exploring mini computers, mainframes, the first personal computers, floppies, early smartphones, and game consoles. And we're also going to hear how the community ethos that drove those early hardware heroes to build those machines still exists today in the open source hardware movement.
The values of sharing are still there. I mean, it's in the entire open source community.
The machine, in a way, was kind of a bit character. It was the people who were the real guts of what it was about.
I'm Saranya Barak. Join me for an incredible new season of the podcast and keep on coding.
So thank you, and eat your sandwiches.
Season 4 is airing now. Subscribe to Command Line Heroes today, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Women in Tech podcast is hosted and produced by me, Esprit Devora,
with help from Janice Geronimo,
edited by Adam Carroll,
and music from Jay Huffman Live and Epidemic Sound. The Women in Tech podcast is a WeAreTech.fm production.